morning and welcome to church. A special welcome to those who are visiting us today or listening online. My name is Diane. Helping me in today's service are our musicians, Irene and Young Lan, and Linda. And Reverend David Anthony's is back with us today and he'll bring us our Bible teaching. So welcome to you and your good lady wife. We here at Abbotsford Anglican are a group of local people of all ages and backgrounds who have come to find meaning and purpose in life, living God's way according to his word, the Bible. We invite you to know God with us. David's just going to introduce a little bit about his teaching today.
Thanks, Diane. Good morning, everyone. It's always wonderful to come to Abbotsford. I always feel so welcomed and so blessed to be with you. So thank you for having me back. My name's David Anthonis, and I'm a chaplain at Concord Hospital. Before I give you a little intro, I'm just making sure that everybody's got these little flashcards. There should be four of them. They should be in your service sheet, yes. So flashcards and the service sheet, that's good, because we'll need those during today. You're going to be holding them up during the service, so get ready for that, get ready for that. But what are we talking about today? Well, we're looking at Psalm 13, and the title is Moment and Momentum. It's a bit like, you know, Jane Austen, Pride and Prejudice, you know, Sense and Sensibility, Moment and Momentum. When I went to school, I learned about mathematics. But when I went to university, they had two different types of mathematics. They had pure maths and applied maths. And I thought, all maths is just maths. But they actually had two different departments called the pure maths department and the applied maths department. But in reality, maths should be one and the same, shouldn't it? It's just maths. Yeah, there should be some overlap. But I think also, when we look at theology, which is the study of God, we can have pure theology and applied theology. That is, something that's out there, pure, you know, we don't need to worry about that, and something that's applied and something that we apply to our everyday life. But really, the Bible is everything God has told us about him that we need to know, and therefore, we should not only just expect overlap, but really, when it comes to the Bible, pure theology should be our applied theology. It should be one and the same. And so, we have this pure and applied theology, but then when it comes, you know, in the hospital, I suppose I get to see people, especially when they're grieving, because they're in hospital and they don't want to be there, but they're also worried about or fearful about an operation that's about to happen, or they know that they haven't got long to live. And so I get to see people's applied theology. And what tends to happen is pure theology is one thing, we've got a little bit of applied theology, but then they've got my life. And their life seems to be somewhat separate to the applied theology, except when they actually need it. Life's all about momentum, but it's about how do I keep going? Things have stopped. I'm in hospital. I don't want to be here. I've got things to do. I've got to keep going. I've got life to live. I've got things to do. I've got to keep going. These things are important, and we need to keep going. And that's momentum. And, of course, today we're looking at moment and momentum. So be ready with your flashcards and I'll be back a bit later. Thanks, yeah. Diane.
Interesting. Okay. Now, for our mission focus, it's a new month, so a new mission focus. Our Link missionaries are one of our focus areas this month. We have InterServe, BCA and Anglicare Chaplaincy, along with Pioneers. The InterServe of the Thomases in Thailand and the Pharisees at Kununurra, and we have the Blairs who are working in Western Sydney. And chaplaincy, there's quite a range of chaplaincies. If we think about Anglicare and their chaplaincy programs, they have schools, SRE, the police, defence, prisons and hospitals. So they're quite a broad range of activities where Anglicare serve. So any support we can give them, of course, would be much appreciated. Our sentence of scripture for today is from Psalm 30. God's anger lasts only a moment, but his favour lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. We're going to open with our first song, 10,000 Reasons. Please stand. Just have a moment to greet those around you that you haven't had a chance to do so yet. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. The Bible tells us not to hide our sins from God our Heavenly Father, but to confess them with a repentant and obedient heart, so that we may be forgiven through his boundless goodness and mercy. We ought to admit our sins to God at all times, and especially when we come together like this, to give thanks for the benefits we have received from him, to offer the praise that is due to him, to hear his holy word, and to ask him to supply whatever we need. So let us approach the throne of our gracious God with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, and pray together. Merciful Father, we have strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the schemes and desires of our own hearts and have broken your holy laws. We have left undone what we ought to have done, and we have done what we ought not to have done. Yet, good Lord, have mercy on us. Restore those who repent, according to the promises declared to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant, merciful Father, for his sake, that from now on we may live godly and obedient lives to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God and loving Heavenly Father, we rejoice that you pardon and forgive those who truly repent and sincerely believe your holy gospel. Grant us true repentance and your Holy Spirit, that we may live godly, righteous, and holy lives, and finally come to your eternal glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Our Bible reading this morning are 2 Corinthians 12, 7b to 10, and Psalm 13. Please follow along on the insert in your news and notes or on the screen. Let me pray. Thank you, Father, for making yourself known to us and showing us the way of salvation through faith in your Son. Teach us through your word and equip us for every good work, for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Good morning. Our first Bible reading today is 2 Corinthians 12, 7b to 10. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then strong I am." Then we come to Psalm 13, for the director of music, a psalm of David. "How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look at me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death, and my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Robin, for that reading. It's wonderful. And you may have heard that reading a few weeks ago. I was supposed to be here, and I was sick, and then Trevor stepped in for me and used the same passage. So you're getting the same passage again, but maybe with a little bit of a different focus, I'm hoping, anyway. Well, today, as I said, it's moment and momentum, and we have three headings that we'll follow through on. The first one is understanding how we might respond to grief. And we all respond to grief differently, but understanding how we respond to grief, especially when we're trying to keep going. You know, we want to keep going. How do we respond to grief? The second one was we're going to actually then look at Psalm 13 and King David's response to grief. And then thirdly, we'll finish up with Paul's response to grief. And we'll spend a bit of time in that first heading because it sets us all up, because I want to think about how we respond. But then we'll move quickly through the other headings and we'll get the sermon done. Well, the first thing we need to understand is how we might respond to grief. And what we see is we have an event, that's something that happens, And in the moment, we can experience a range of possibilities. And it could be a simple inconvenience, such as losing $10, or cause suffering and loss, whether physical or emotional pain, or something like a job, or a limb, or a loved one, maybe a spouse or a child. Then after the moment, we can have a range of responses. And those responses can be from grief all the way to trauma. For those who have lost a job, you may experience grief until you find another job. For someone who has lost a limb or a loved one, for you, that grief can be ongoing and may never leave you. Now, for those who have had a traumatic event in the past, a simple event can re-trigger that trauma. For instance, losing $10 may be inconvenience for some, but for someone else who had lost $10,000 of their parents' money as a seven-year-old and experienced ongoing parental disappointment and anger over that event, simply losing $10 may trigger those thoughts and feelings again and become traumatic for them. And while this diagram, we have separated what occurs in the moment and what occurs after the moment, all these things can occur in the moment. The question is, how do we respond to grief in the moment? How do we respond to grief in the moment? Now, if we think of the diamond on the screen like a flat piece of paper, the three corners nearest you represent a landscape of three possible responses to grief. The first possibility concerns our feelings. It is the felt response of our suffering as we cry out. Here we're representing this as the crying out grouse. The crying out grouse doesn't want to be feeling the grief or the trauma anymore. The crying out grouse wants to remove themselves from the situation. Kubler-Ross developed the five stages of grief to explain how we might respond when we grieve, ranging from denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and moving towards acceptance. And rather than a linear process, as suggested by this diagram, we can bounce around these different stages depending on what we are thinking and feeling at the time. And for some, acceptance is hard, especially having lost a loved one. The grief may never seem to leave us. And for the crying out grouse, their catch cry can be, "I can't keep going on like this." The second possibility is the complete opposite to the feeling response. It's a facts-based response to our suffering. Here we're representing this response as a stoic owl. The stoic owl puts aside any feelings and deals with the facts. Because from the stoic owl's point of view, feelings make you ineffectual. So you've just got to deal with it, and it's best just to avoid the feelings altogether. And for the stoic owl, their fact phrase is, "I've just got to keep going." And it's always paired with the phrase, "There is someone worse off than me." And that is to rationalise their approach. There's someone worse off than me. The third possibility is based neither on facts nor feelings. The strategy is to divert yourself from thinking or feeling about the situation by doing something else to occupy your mind. It's represented by the busy beaver. A busy beaver avoids facts and feelings by diverting one's attention onto something else. Possibly best typified by Robbie Louis Stevenson when he says these words, "Keep busy at something A busy person never has time to be unhappy. Busy beavers keep diverting and carry on. Their subconscious thought is, I'll keep going on other things. Now, I'd like to get you, get your four flashcards, and you'll see there's one with a crown. I want you to put that one aside, and you should have three left. One with the crying out grouse, one with the stoic owl, and one with the busy beaver. And we're going to use those flashcards now. I'm going to ask you two separate questions, and I want you to select one, only one of the cards, and hold it up when I count to three. The first question is this. Which response most represents your first or natural or go-to response to grief? I want you to pick one of those cards, and remember, pick only one, and I'm going to count to three, and I want you to put it up so I can do a quick survey. Got your card? One, two, three. Right, thank you. Okay, got the responses. And the second question is this. Which response would you consider the best response to grief? Pick one of those cards. Which response do you consider the best response to grief? One, two, three. Okay, that's good. A lot of stoic, we've got a lot of crying out grouses and got a range there. We have got a good range. Thank you very much. That's good. That's given me an idea of where we think we're at, and that's good. And there's no right or wrong answer here. It's just what you're thinking. Okay, that's great. It's interesting to consider each of these responses as strategy for pastoral carers. For instance, if you were grieving, then you wouldn't want a crying out grouse to come up to you and then turn from focusing on your grief to focus on their grief. And you wouldn't want a stoic owl pastoring caring for you with their fact-based phrases telling you you've just got to keep going and there's someone out there worse off than you. Not an appropriate pastoral care response, but it's interesting that stoic owls consider it good and appropriate to tell themselves. And you wouldn't want a busy beaver diverting you onto something else so to avoid the issue altogether rather than being present with you in your grief. Yet each of these responses is appropriate at the right time. It is appropriate times to be crying out grouses, to grieve and to cry, to be allowed to cry. I come across so many men at hospital who are about to lose their mother or their spouse, yet they will not allow themselves to cry. Yet crying is our God-given release valve to express our heartfelt feelings, our emotions. Men, we are allowed to cry. And we cry because we love and we have lost love. It's also appropriate at times to be stoic owls, especially when action is required. Many stoic owls I come across have been through war and where there is ongoing fear and grief, and one must just keep going to survive by dealing with the facts. And it is appropriate at times to be the busy beaver, to do something else, to divert yourself so to distract ourselves from focusing only on our grief. It provides us a breather, a respite from what we're thinking or feeling, from focusing only on our loss to focusing on other things. The problem is when one of the responses is our only response. Nevertheless, we still face two problems captured in each of the phrases. Firstly, Firstly, the focus remains on ourselves alone. I'll keep. I can't. Secondly, the loss we're experiencing can result in losing momentum to keep going. So is there another approach? One that works above the landscape of grief we experience and the responses we have? What you may have already detected is that none of these responses by themselves involves God. Did you pick that up? Good. And what I want to suggest to you today is there is another, is rather than working with momentum, that is, that I need to keep going, we need to be walking in the moment. That is, to become aware. And if we become aware of God's presence, we move from what I need to keep going with momentum towards what is God doing for or with me in the moment. And when we do, we come in within his sovereign sanctuary. Because the all-seeing and all-knowing God loves us and understands us and is with us in our time of grief. He is the dependable one. And so the key is determining how to engage with God during our times of grief. And to do this, we'll look at David's approach to his grief. And we get to use our flashcards again. So during the service, we had Robin read to us Psalm 13. It can be broken up into three stanzas. The first stanza contains four how long phrases. King David forlongs God's intervention upon his situation. When we read it, we certainly see that David is seeking the Lord's sovereign sanctuary. Yet after each stanza is read, I'd like you to hold up a flashcard of the other grief response that David uses. And I'll do that after I count you in. I'll get you to hold up the card. So let me read it to you as you contemplate which flashcard to hold up. How long, Lord? Will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? So what's your grief response that you're seeing there? 1, 2, 3. Hold it up. Great. Thank you. You're right. We certainly see aspects of David expressing his thoughts and feelings on the situation. And that is the crying out grouse. But the feelings are not directed towards what he is unable to do and focused on himself alone. Rather, he directs his feelings towards the sovereign God, being primarily dependent on him to intervene upon his situation. It is good and proper to express what we are feeling to God and to seek his comfort. The second stanza shows David's dependency on God to rescue him from his grief. We certainly see again that David is seeking the Lord's sovereign sanctuary. Yet, what other grief response do we see David employing here? Let me read it to you as you contemplate before you put up your card. Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my foes will rejoice when I fall. 1, 2, 3. Put your card up. Great. Excellent. Thank you. Now, I'm going to suggest to you there are two possible answers. The first is the Stoic owl. And David is stating facts. However, they are not facts relating to himself alone and what he must do. They are facts about his dependency on God. Let me read you the second part of verse 3 again. Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. There's the fact. There's the truth. The second is the crying out grouse. So if you had that one, well done as well. And we see crying out to the Lord in the beginning of verse 3. Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Again, with dependency on God. The third stanza, David shows David completely within God's sovereign sanctuary. He transitions from his situation to find sanctuary with God. But what other grief response do we see David deploying here? Let me read it for you as you contemplate. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. 1, 2, 3. Okay, we've got some smarter people there. I've asked for one, and I got three. And they're putting all their eggs in one basket? We'll see. Well, we've had three different responses suggested, so let me deal with each one in turn. If you held up the crying out grouse slide, then you're right. We certainly see feelings expressed in rejoicing. And also to trust requires us to feel, doesn't it? Yet our trust and faith is based on fact. Those facts being the unchanging character of God as seen in his unfailing love. And also the fact that salvation is now possible through Jesus. And those facts indicate that if you held up the stoic hour, you are also right. Both these responses show a dependency on God. But what about those few who held up the busy beaver? We certainly see David doing something other than focus on his grief. In verse 6, David sings praise to the Lord. So those of you who held up the busy beaver are also right. But there is a difference here. David doesn't praise God to distract himself from grieving. Rather, David focuses on God because he is the one who can provide comfort from his grief. And so we see the arrow pointing in the reverse direction, because David is allowing God through his praise to act upon him. Because honouring God takes the focus away from us in our grief in losing momentum and places us before the sovereign God to be in the moment of his purposes and for us and through us, for our good and for his glory. And honouring God can take many forms, particularly our practices as Christians, whether it be in worship or by praying or by helping others or by teaching people about Jesus and his love for them. Yet they only honour God when they are done not for ourselves, but for God alone. Then we honour him in living our lives. And it is in our practices that pure theology becomes applied theology. And we move from having momentum to being in the moment, aware of the sovereign God and seeking his purposes and not our own. Furthermore, when we honour God in our lives for his goodness and greatness towards us, it reinforces the facts we know and the feelings we feel to continue to trust in his unfailing love. What we see in Psalm 13 is David uses all three responses to grief. Yet the responses and the phrases he uses are not about him alone trying to keep going. They are dependent on God. He's looking for God to act upon his situation. So what is an appropriate phrase to place in the box for those seeking sovereign sanctuary? I trust in your unfailing love. Yet there is more now in Christ. And for this, we'll turn to Paul's response to grief. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 7 to 10, Paul was experiencing some grief. In verse 7, he visualizes this grief as a thorn in his flesh that was tormenting him. Now, some people consider the thorn to be very personal because Paul doesn't say what the thorn is. Nevertheless, the particular thorn is not important with respect to what Paul is communicating to us. Because no matter the thorn, the response will be the same. And this is evidenced in verse 10, where Paul delights for the sake of Christ in all grievings, being in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, and in persecutions, and in difficulties. And then he explains why. For when I am weak, then I am strong. But in the Greek, Paul provides a little but extremely pertinent pun. In English, the correct grammar is to say, when I'm weak, then I am strong. But in Greek, it's a little bit more flexible, and a direct translation is, then strong I am. Picking up I am as the name of God. You see his pun there? And so when Paul is weak, it allows God to be strong within Paul. And when we are weak, it allows God to be strong within us. Yet even though Paul understands this weak-strong relationship, that is his weakness in his grief and God's strength from within his sanctuary, it is apparent that Paul didn't always consider it so. Because in verse 8, Paul says he pleaded with the Lord three times to take the thorn away. And in verse 9, the Lord responded to him three times with the truth. My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. And so we now have the three truths for the sovereign sanctuary box. Join me in saying these truths in the sovereign sanctuary box as I count them in. Number one, I trust in your unfailing love. I didn't quite hear us all. I'll say it again. One, I trust in your unfailing love. Two, your grace is sufficient for me. Three, when I am weak, then strong I am. Well done. Now, on your outline, there is some italic text there with some space to write, and I want you to think about a thorn that is currently causing you some grief at this moment and to write it down against my thorn. So it could be a little thorn, something that you've been thinking about. It could be a big thorn. It could be a present grief that you're experiencing. It could be a past regret from which you cannot escape its torment. It could be even a future aspiration that has been taken away from you. Whatever it is, I want you to write it down now. I'm going to give you 20 seconds to write it down. Okay, well, also on that sheet, it invites you to also write my response. But here you have a choice. Your response could be the catch cry of the crying out grouse, or the fact phrases of the stoic owl, or the subconscious thoughts of the busy beaver. Now, that is not to negate these responses, because we have observed that David expresses his feelings, the situational facts, and diverts himself. However, not with respect to himself alone, rather in relationship with God. And what underpins those responses is these truths. So I'd like you us to practice voicing these truths that bring us into the sovereign sanctuary regarding the present thorn you have written down. So I want you to think about that thorn. Say it in your head now. Don't say it out loud. Say it in your head now. And then I'm going to say one, two, three for each one. So think about the thorn. Say it in your head. One, I trust in your unfailing love. Two, your grace is sufficient for me. Three, when I am weak, then strong I am. Well, let me pray. Father God, we find it so hard to live our lives. We want to keep going. We want to keep doing. We want to have momentum. We think at times we even need momentum to do your work. But Lord God, you have created this moment and every moment that you place us in, especially when we grieve. Lord God, help us to know that you are present with us and that we don't have to be alone and rely on our own strength or different approaches, but come to you to cry out, to say the true things, and to praise you, and that in that moment we may come to understand your presence in that moment upon our lives. Lord God, help us to depend on you and to use these truths within our lives. Lord God, I ask for your blessings upon us all now, and I ask this in the power of your Son's name. Amen.
Right, our next song is In Christ Alone, which is obviously another appropriate choice. So please stand and join in and sing with us.
Power of hell, no scheme of man can ever plan.
Please remain standing and join together in stating what we believe. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Let us pray that all mankind may be enlightened by the gospel. God of power and life, glory of all who believe in you, fill the world with your splendor and show the nations the light of your truth. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. As we begin our first service of year 2024, we give thanks to God, our Father, for life and breath and the honor of being part of your good plans and purposes here on earth in 2024. Pray that your kingdom would come and your will be done here as it is in heaven. We pray this year we'll grow more in the knowledge of your words, love, patience, and patience in our country, communities, and churches, and families. Give us courage to share the gospel and listening ears to put our faith into action for the good of our country, communities, and neighbors, so that we will be partakers of your mission on this earth. Loving God, without you, we are not able to please you. Mercifully grant that your Holy Spirit may in all things direct and rule our hearts. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We pray for families, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, whose Son Jesus Christ shared at Nazareth the life of an early home. Bless our homes, we pray. Help parents to impart the knowledge of you and your love, and children to respond with love and obedience. May our homes be blessed with peace and joy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We pray for the mission. As the year begins, we are mindful in our prayers for all Anglican chaplains we will be supporting throughout the year and those missionaries we are linked with by prayer and giving. For the chaplains in schools, hospitals, the defense force, the police force, and in prisons. And for our link missionaries in 2024, the Thomas family serving in Thailand with InterServe, the Blair family among refugees in Sydney with Pioneers, and the Pharisee family with the Bush Church Aid Society in Kununurra. Father, we pray that we will be faithful in supporting our missionaries in prayer and finance so that we may be encouraging to all those who serve for your glory. May they bear much fruit for your name's sake, in the name of Christ. Amen. We pray for the world. We pray for Japan, who have been affected by the earthquake on the coast of Ishikawa. Please comfort all those who lost their homes and are living in fear of tsunami and more quakes. We pray for rebuilding of the communities, and the Japanese people may look out for real hope in Christ. We pray for the war-torn, divided world by religion, greed, power, and conflict of interest. We live to Gaza regions, Ukraine, Russia, and many other regions in Africa and Asia in our prayers. Almighty God, whose will is to store all things in your beloved Son, the King of all, govern the hearts and minds of those in authority, and bring the families of the nations divided and torn apart by the ravage of sin to be subject to your just and gentle rule through Christ, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We thank and praise you in these difficult situations that people are looking for the truth and hope in you. We pray you will open doors for the gospel in every land and enable the messengers of your truth to proclaim it clearly as they should. Help us to be wise in the way we act towards outsiders in our community when these conflicts are raised in discussions. We may know how to answer everyone, and help us to make the most of every opportunity you give us. We ask these things in the name of the Lord. Amen. Now we pray for our church. Thank you, Lord, for all those who visited our church throughout our Christmas period and our outreach to play group, parents, and carols. We pray that those who visited us may come back to our church again to learn more about you and grow in your words and find purpose in their lives. We also thank you for all those who volunteer in this church. And may you bless each one of us to know that what we do is not in vain and that you are pleased. As we begin 2024, we pray that you will put in our hearts the priorities and directions for your kingdom and enable us by the power of the Holy Spirit to carry them out with obedience, conviction, and rigor to please you and for our common good. Let us take a moment in silence to remember to pray for those in our church family who we know are ill, recovering from illness, or in the need of God's comfort at this time. Almighty God, giver of life and health, hear our prayers for all those we prayed for. May they be restored to health of body and mind according to your will, and in the presence of your people, give thanks to you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Merciful God, we know that we live in the midst of many dangers and temptations, and that because we are weak and frail, we cannot always stand firm. Grant us strength and protection to support us in all dangers, and carry us through all temptations through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Be exalted, Lord, above the heavens. Keep our nation under your care. Let your ways be known on earth, saving power among all nations. Send out your light and truth, that we may tell of your saving works. Hear our prayers, O Lord, who we trust in you.
Now, we hold Bible studies during the week and at various times, and if that's something that you haven't yet signed up for but would be interested in, you can see me or Jennifer after the service, and I'm sure we can take note of that and see you right for the new year. Some groups will be starting back fairly soon. Some might not start till February, so they run with school terms, but it's something that we all look forward to, those of us who are in them. So if you're not yet, you can seek one out. If you'd like a fresh start with God, if you've been moved, please be in touch, and people at this church can guide you in how to go about doing that. We have a book at the front door called The Essential Jesus, and it's a bit of a look through, I think it's Luke, that guides you through how you can get that. We thank you for regularly supporting financially our church here in Abbotsford, either online or via the offertory box at the back of the church. If you would like prayer after the service, Coral and Jeff would be happy to pray for you. Just please come to the chairs at the front of the church where you can receive that support. After church, you're welcome to stay for morning tea and continue the fellowship. Looks like the sun's come out a little bit more, so plenty of shade, fresh air. Make sure you enjoy that. We're going to finish with our final song. So as we prepare to leave, stand and join in.
strong and kind. Jesus, strong and kind.
Lord Jesus Christ, fill us with your Spirit and send us out with confidence in your word to tell the world of your saving acts and bring glory to your name. And remember, God's anger lasts only a moment, but his favour lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. Together, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.